EZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Israeli cabinet voting today on whether to support a 60-day ceasefire in Lebanon. ABC's James Longman explaining what the role of the U.S. would be if it passes.
The U.S. will provide oversight on Hezbollah's exit from southern Lebanon. I mean, that sounds great, but what will that mean? It says the U.S. and Israel have signed a side agreement. In it, the U.S. pledges to back Israel's right to strike in Lebanon against critical or immediate threats from Hezbollah. The danger there is it normalizes Israeli operations in Lebanon. It gives Israel kind of an open-ended ability to continue striking across the country and in Beirut.
President Biden proposing that obese Americans be able to pay for drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy through Medicare and Medicaid. As of now, those government programs don't cover obesity drugs. Mexico's president is suggesting that her country could slap tariffs on U.S. goods if President-elect Donald Trump goes through with his proposal to hit Mexico and Canada with 25% tariffs once he takes office. He wants a 35% tariff for China. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. With Wisconsin's gun deer hunt season underway, hunters are again being reminded about baiting and feeding bans to curb the spread of chronic wasting disease. There are 61 counties across the state this year with active baiting and feeding bans due to positive chronic wasting disease testing, including the majority of the Northwest Wisconsin region. While the disease spreads naturally in the deer population, setting up bait piles in your hunting area can cause the animals to congregate in greater numbers and increases the risk of transmission. Wisconsin State Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein is calling for the state to use its $4.6 billion surplus to invest in K-12 schools. A number of state officials have joined that call, including State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley, who proposed a biennial budget that included an additional $4 billion in new spending. The calls come in the wake of a historic number of school referendums being approved by voters in the November election. Hesselbein also expressed a willingness to use that surplus for a middle-class tax cut. A memorial for a Village of Cameron police officer killed in the line of duty has been completed and will soon be officially unveiled for the public. According to a Facebook post from the Cameron Police Department, the Hunter Scheel Memorial will be formally unveiled on the morning of December 4th, honoring the sacrifice he and Officer Emily Breidenbach made. The two were killed in the line of duty after conducting a traffic stop of Glenn Perry, who then shot at both Officer Scheel and Breidenbach, but was shot and killed as well during the incident. A New Auburn man will face a jury trial after entering not guilty pleas to multiple counts of theft. According to court records, 44-year-old Mickley Miller was charged with multiple misdemeanor and felony counts of theft after being accused of stealing several items, including a pontoon boat he later abandoned. Miller was charged in Barron County on May 31st, and the trial is scheduled to begin in March. He is currently being held in the Barron County Jail on cash bond and could face up to 3.5 years in prison and a fine of up to $10,000 if convicted. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers prepare for Thanksgiving. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the second year in a row, the Green Bay Packers are playing on Thanksgiving. Last year, they beat the Lions in Detroit 29-22. The game got some of the highest ratings ever. This year, the Packers are at home Thursday night against the Dolphins, kickoff at 7:20. Matt LaFleur asked if there was time to review the tape of their win over the 49ers Sunday night.
I'm sure Miami's going to look at that tape, so you better know what you did and the areas where you may be susceptible to getting exposed and make those corrections and move on.
The Badgers host Minnesota this Friday, kickoff at 11 a.m. Head coach Luke Fickell asked if safety Hunter Waller will be back after missing the last game with an injury. Waller leads the team in tackling.
No, we don't know. Those are things that we're going to have to play out through the week. There's a lot of guys that are kind of in a similar situation that, you know, as you get to the end of the year, you know, it's a grueling season. The Big Ten is not the easiest road in the world.
That's Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have some pretty good travel weather coming our way for the upcoming holiday weekend, but take a jacket because it is going to be cold. Today, partly cloudy. We'll get to 27 for a high this afternoon. West wind at 5 to 15. 12 tonight, mostly cloudy. 29 tomorrow. Thanksgiving Day, some light snow showers with a high in the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 16.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, political editor Dan Schaaf. We discuss how Democrats discuss race and racial justice. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Jessica Plotkin-Sell, on the board for Calvin, who is taking a well-deserved week off. You can always join us. You can call, you can text here at Radio Park in Racine. The number is 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots coming up for you this show. Luke Mathers joining us at 10:33. There's an interesting article in the Washington Post about some businesses in Texas.
Yes.
Now suddenly very concerned about people getting deported.
You're going to do what?
I haven't heard anything about
no
this.
No one told me.
I didn't know that was
this
a thing.
This is a first.
It is a thing. And yes, apparently there's some surprise and concern now among some businesses about what that will mean for their bottom lines. We're going to kick up that around with our colleague here at Civic Media, Luke Mathers. Very much looking forward to talking to Hans Breitenmoser.
Yes.
And he is a regular on Pat Kreitler's show.
He's on monthly with him.
And
man,
I've been hoping to steal him for a while. He's a dairy farmer in Lincoln County and just has insight that we're always looking for. I'm an urban kid. You're an urban kid.
Yep.
And I really like to learn from our guests. So Hans is going to be joining us, probably also talking about the potential of mass deportations of immigrants, as well as tariffs.
Yes, which, oh.
And what that would mean. And as always, we will wrap things up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today and tomorrow, it's going to be the Trashy Thanksgiving Edition.
Yeah.
So I hope you can stick around for that. Wanted to start off, though, with something I found in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I live in Milwaukee. Jess, I believe you live in Milwaukee.
Indeed.
And here's the headline from Eva Wen in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. As Milwaukee fights to reduce traffic deaths, new speed humps draw mixed feelings.
Mm.
They have been increasing in certain parts of the city. It's been very noticeable. But in some cases, not so noticeable, which I think is part of the issue.
Yes.
Not all of these speed bumps are brightly marked.
No,
or,
they're
or
not.
Or colored.
No, they're not. And the signage isn't the best, or maybe there's not signage, or...
Well, sometimes they've got the, you know, they've got the yellow sign,
yeah,
speed bump behind a tree, which is so useful.
Yes.
Oh, seriously, I'm glad that the tree knows that there's a speed hump there.
Exactly, so it doesn't go speeding over the hump. The speed humps are up to 6 inches tall and several feet wide. They're known now as raised crosswalks. They've been installed along streets like Holton and Center, part of a citywide effort to promote traffic safety and fight reckless driving. Some really disturbing statistics. The number of people who've been killed in traffic crashes in Milwaukee has risen from around 30 to almost 90 every year.
The reckless driving in the city.
It's terrible.
I will say this, and I've said this before. The reckless driving period It's not just Milwaukee. It's not
in general.
No. It's not great in Milwaukee. It's just different forms of reckless driving. Like in Milwaukee, there's a lot of speeding down the road, speeding through yellow lights, blowing red lights.
Passing on the right.
When you get into the rural areas, when I used to drive into Waukesha, there was other forms of reckless driving too. Sure. And it is just as bad, and there needs to be measures to calm this.
But again, and my husband and I just talked about this the other day because, as we know, I've talked about now I'm freeway phobic, and I try to avoid the freeway at all costs if I can because people are nuts. What is it? I'm so tempted sometimes. There was a guy this morning.
Yeah.
I'm coming down Pennsylvania Avenue.
Ooh.
It's 40 miles an hour. Yeah. He blows past me going 65.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then cuts in front of me and turns right. And I was so tempted to follow him in there and just say, why? Why do you drive like this? I'm just curious, why?
I don't know about you, Jess, but my first thought was he would either say one of two things. He would say, I don't know, or he'd say, because I can.
Yeah.
Is that all it is? It's just because I can?
Yeah.
I think there is too much of that.
Yeah. I think also if you see certain types of cars, and I'm talking luxury cars, when I see luxury cars, I tend to notice they're bad driving more. Because I also think to them, they're like, it's a ticket. Who cares? Oh, whatever.
They'll just blow it off.
Blow it off, pay it off. I mean, it's nothing I can pay for. Like, there's a whole host of reasons why. And I think very few of them are, I have to get to the hospital right now.
Well, yeah, that's not it.
No, it's just because you can. And not to sound like a fuddy-duddy, but we do live in an age where the movies and the TV and the games are all like speed driven, like, you know,
right.
Like,
it glamorizes driving fast and living on the edge
for people who are in their 40s.
Hey, Jane, that's when we need to feel something the most. Sometimes we're not in our 30s and 20s. We're not in those 50s and 60s years. We're in our 40s. We have almost nothing.
There's nothing to look forward to.
But yeah, I don't think there is a grand explanation. I think they're doing it because they can. Yes, granted, we've all been there where you make a traffic mistake.
Yes.
You know.
I will own that, absolutely.
And that's why I tend not to get mad at certain ones, because I'm like, I've made that mistake, and I can't get upset.
Right.
But yeah, especially the not even like running a red light, clearly committing a crime where the light has been red for at least a second or two, and you just don't
blow it.
Care.
You just blow through it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I had one right in front of me this morning on my way to work. It's just like, oh, okay, that's what a choice you're making.
That's what we do now,
I guess.
Yeah, or, I mean, I've seen this more and more where, Jess, are you talking about, like, they were at a stoplight and they just went, or they blew the red light?
So this was making a left turn, and the light had turned red. The car in front of them, I guess you could say they squeaked through on the yellow, but the light was fully red at this point. They stopped and then went, and just went through.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that people know that the cops aren't everywhere.
They're hardly anywhere.
Well, especially not in Illinois. Boom. But also, I just think people don't care. They just don't care. They're going to go for it. And if they get pulled over, they're going to get a ticket. And
so what?
They move on. You know.
855-752-4842. If you are one of these people, and I don't want to excoriate you, I genuinely want to know why you drive like this.
Well, and then,
and don't you ever worry about putting other people in harm's way, because that's what you're doing.
But going back to the article, there is a woman they speak to in the article who has concerns about the speed bumps that, and Jess was saying, we were saying that they're not marked well. Sometimes the paint that denotes them is fading.
Right.
And even at, like, you should take a speed bump at like 5 miles an hour. It's really just rolling over, taking your foot off the gas and just gliding over it. But if you don't notice it because there's bad signage, and even if you drive it like 15 or 20, that can do damage to your car. You're not speeding. You're not a danger, but you just can't see it. And in the article, the city kind of like, we'll get to it if we get to it.
Michaela from West Bend texting and listening on WAUK. My husband is 43 years old and a big gamer. So, yep, the fast-paced media is definitely reaching them. Yeah,
I hate blaming the media too, because I don't think people commit violence because of video games or movies or books or TV shows. I think that's a far separate conversation. But we have romanticized and made driving fast look sexy.
Driving recklessly looks sexy.
Yeah, and I do think there is... I would believe there's some correlation in there, but I know that's a slippery slope because then you can start blaming media for a lot of other things as well.
But in the Fast and the Furious and all these things, don't people ever get hurt? Or are they just so nothing ever happens to these people who are driving like this? There's never any consequences.
They get, like, their consequences come from like the fights they get into and the guns they pull and things like they literally drive cars off of buildings and land. In air quotes, safely.
Oh, okay.
Like it,
so it's completely real.
It's completely real and totally legitimate. So I think, I think people see those worlds and be like, I can drive like that. And I can't drive off a building and make it, but I can definitely.
Oh, please try.
Blow over. Jane.
Well, why not? Why limit yourself? Why limit yourself?
Michaela did just text back and said, I should clarify, he is not a reckless driver.
Oh, thank you, Michaela.
But Matt from Germantown says, I definitely don't drive like that for
the
record.
I appreciate you, Matt. Thank you.
And I don't either. Like, I've said it many times how I drive. I drive in the middle roads. I drive at the speed limit, maybe a little above. But I'm not going to move for you. You can go around me on the freeway. That's your problem, not mine.
855-752-4842. Angel from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Angel. Thank you so much for joining us. Hello, Angel.
Angel?
Nope.
All right. Try calling back.
Yeah, try calling back, Angel. 855-752-4842. Talking about this article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about speed bumps. They are adding them in certain parts of the city. And I think some of the newer ones that they're calling, again, these pedestrian bumps, those are the ones that are not particularly well marked. It really just looks like it's part of the road.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And PJ on the live stream right now just said, I went to a concert on Friday at the Riverside, and the amount of red light runners was terrifying. Yeah, down in that area.
Oh, it's bad.
People are just—they want to get where they need to be, and they, you know, caution be darned, and your life be out of my mind, that kind of thing. It's just—it makes that where I'm now starting to get a little nervous driving at night in cities. I don't mind the freeways. I understand your thing with the freeways, but there's so many options, especially in those areas of Milwaukee where it's not just a north-south intersection. It's north-south, northeast, this side coming this way, right. And then there's a red light. It's, oh, no, thank you.
Well, the one thing I would like to see harsher penalties for people who do reckless driving instead of just a ticket.
Well, yes.
I don't think this is never, this behavior isn't going to change.
Well, from a state that it takes you like 5 DUIs to get arrested,
I got a good point there. One can hope, Greg.
Yeah, one can hope. But some of those traffic calming measures are working. I know in Milwaukee on 6th Street that leads into Martin Luther King Boulevard, they've got a great system now. It goes down to one lane and you have to slow yourself down and you have to turn slowly and with determination. It just can't be like, yeah. So,
all right.
We'll see.
You want to check in on this? We'd love to hear from you at 855-752-4842. Otherwise, when we return, it's a great job you can buy-ish. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones.
for you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Jess P.S. on the board, in for Calvin, taking a well-deserved week off, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. You can also call and text directly from the Civic Media app.
Oh, that's right.
If you don't have it yet, go to wherever you get your apps and look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media, Civic Media, and download the Civic Media app. It's really great. You can call and text directly to whatever show you're listening to all across the state. So no matter where you are, in Oshkosh or Hayward or Racine, in Amory. Download the Civic Media app. It is absolutely free. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Luke Mathers will be here to kick around tariffs.
Tariffs.
Deportations. All those things. But I saw this a couple of days ago, and it kind of got lost in everything else. But I did want to do this because there's something in here that jumps out at me that I find really hilarious.
Yeah.
Headline reads from Daniel Bice. Tim Michaels, remember Tim Michaels?
Yeah, he's like Eric Hovde 1.0.
Tim Michaels was offered a Trump cabinet job after his family donated more than $500,000. Wisconsin businessman Tim Michaels already on Donald Trump's radar. He met with him at Mar-a-Lago. Of course, he was endorsed by Trump during his gubernatorial failed in 2022. But that didn't stop Michaels, his two brothers, and each of their spouses giving a total of $503,600 to a Trump-aligned PAC all on the same day in late September. What are you doing today, bro?
Okay.
I'm going to donate $75,000.
Me too.
Are you?
Really?
Oh.
My wife's doing that as well.
Less than 2 months later, Trump, known for his transactional approach to politics.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Vice. Offered Michaels a position in his cabinet as head of the Department of Transportation. This is the part that kills me. The deal fell through when Trump's transition committee insisted that Tim Michaels divest his holdings as co-owner of the Michaels Corporation, which is a big family-owned construction business.
Yeah.
Because that could be a conflict of interest. Come on.
Okay. There is a ton to unpack here. First of all, I am not going to stand here, sit here, or even like be a bystander to the idea that I know that money buys your way into certain situations.
Obviously.
I know that influence can get you a visit, a handshake, a picture, a post, a job, contract, all those things. Mm-hmm. It's been happening since time immemorial. But this is just so blatant.
Yes.
Just so outward that he was like, what do you want to do in the Trump administration? I don't care. Well, give us some money. We'll find you something. How about DOT? He's like, I helped make roads.
I know roads.
Just like Sean Duffy. He's been on a show called Road Rules. They both have road experience,
They've Jane. Driven on roads.
They know what roads are. Yes. They love Rocky Road ice cream. But this divesting is the best part.
Right?
Yes.
Donald Trump hasn't divested from his own businesses.
Has he ever asked anyone else? Did he ask Rex Tillerson to divest from any holdings he may have had with ExxonMobil?
That's a very good question.
It's sort of this thing where you're like reading, yeah, okay. And then you see divest, and you're like, wait, what?
I know. That's why this just seems like such a glaring, you got to be kidding me.
I said on Pat's show this morning, like he had to have been on the phone with him saying like, you know, okay, I'd love the DOT secretary position. They'd be like, well, we want you to divest. And he's like, that's funny.
Yeah,
okay,
you're so funny.
Oh, you're serious. Okay.
Right.
I'll have to get back to you on that one. Right. Yeah.
Don't call me. I'll call you. So after the deal fell through, when the transition committee insisted he divest, because the company's worth almost $4 billion.
Yeah. Oh, just an up-and-comer.
He pivoted and selected former Wisconsin Representative Sean Duffy.
Now Fox. Well, once Fox News pundit, too.
Right. And apparently Reince Priebus was the one who suggested Duffy because he wants a Wisconsinite in there.
Do you think Reince felt really good about himself? He's like, oh, the president listened to me.
Absolutely.
Of course, yeah.
Of course he did.
Because Reince was supposed to remake the GOP back in 2016, and he got sucked into the Trump machine and realized he couldn't handle it.
And lasted for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
But he's still there.
Oh, he's still there. He's still helping make America divest again.
And again, it just says to me, these really wealthy and granted successful people.
Yes.
Just come to a point in their life where like, I'm bored.
Yep. Give me.
I want to be governor.
Yep.
I want to be senator. Now I want a job. I want a job in the presidential administration. I want a cabinet job.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Because I'm really rich and really successful and I should have it.
I should have it. I deserve this. Give me, please. Give me more, please. I am owed this.
Well, I'm sure Tim Michaels will be fine.
He'll be fine.
I think he'll be okay.
And I've posted the article in the show notes. I suggest you read it because it also gives you another side to Tim Michaels, which like Eric Hovde.
Little prickly, huh?
Prickly, petty, babyish.
No.
Like, just you try to ask him questions on certain things, he gets real prickly. He gets all
little thin skin.
His biscuits get burnt. Well, it's really funny because they're just little boy men.
No, they're just not used to being questioned about anything by anybody.
Exactly.
Oh, well.
Oh,
you'll be fine.
We'll see you in 5 to 10 years,
don't
Tim.
Worry.
You'll be back looking for a job as, I don't know,
actually,
governor again.
With a turnover in his last administration, Tim, you could be back up in this in about six months. So just keep the phone lines open. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll be back with Luke Mathers to kick things around. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin's public defenders are expressing concerns over lawyer shortages in some of the more rural areas of the state. According to a report from the state bar, nearly half of the lawyers in Wisconsin live in heavily populated areas like Milwaukee and Madison. For rural counties, a lack of public defenders has put a larger workload on the lawyers that are available, leading to case backlogs and further staffing issues. Public defenders have been pushing for salary increases in the upcoming state budget, hoping the higher salaries will attract more lawyers. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation have announced $32 million in federal funding to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in road improvement projects. According to a press release, the DOT will use funding from the Low Carbon Transportation Materials Grant Program to study construction-eligible materials and create incentives for them to be used in road improvement projects. The DOT will also use the grant funding to set sustainability benchmarks for state projects to improve Wisconsin's sustainable infrastructure. A Webster man has been sentenced after suffering an overdose while driving in Washburn County, leading to a single-vehicle crash. According to court documents, 41-year-old Nicholas Bremer was arrested in February of 2023 after authorities responded to the scene of the crash and found him unconscious in a snowbank. Law enforcement authorities administered Narcan at the scene of the crash and discovered drugs and drug paraphernalia in the vehicle. Bremer was also convicted on unrelated criminal charges in Washburn County in June of 2023. The City of Duluth held its annual Christmas City of the North Parade over the weekend, featuring the winner of the city's first-ever snowplow naming contest. Officials say over 300 possible names were submitted for the contest, with nearly 2,000 votes going to the winner, Enger Plower. The Enger Plower snowplow led the way at the parade, with city officials saying it symbolized how the snowplows keep the city running during the harsh winter season. City officials also noted that they're looking for more plow drivers for the winter. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin' Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The sunshine breaks through, finally. However, winds are still feisty out of the west, gusting around 20 miles per hour, slapping a wind chill on cold temperatures. Highs today only climb to the mid-20s and slide to the low teens tonight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 16 degrees.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Al Petrelli, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show, and filmmaker Emmett Lavorty. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
When it's time to pitch your product to clients, good with words, but I'm worse. But it started out a joke of a romantic stuck to my tongue.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Jess P.S. on the board for Calvin. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, don't forget we wrap up every show now with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is Trashy Thanksgiving Edition. Special one in honor of the holiday. We'll probably have a couple of those for you tomorrow as well.
Oh, yeah.
And this, I think, is really cool, and I haven't listened to it yet, but I definitely plan to check it out. It's called Deer Hunters Roundup. And for over 25 years, it's been hosted by Joel Karnick. You can listen to it on WCQM, WHSM, WIRI, and on the Civic Media app every night of the gun deer season from 6 to 8 p.m., except for the Packer game on Sunday and then Thanksgiving Day. They open up the phone lines to hunters.
They shouldn't be talking. They're hunting. They can be quiet in
No, this is after they're in. It's 6 o'clock at night.
Oh.
And then they call in and share hunter stories. And I just think it's been going on for 25 years.
It's fantastic.
It is. That's pretty cool. So download the Civic Media app and you can check out the Hunters Roundtable if you are so inclined. We are joined right now by our colleague and friend Luke Mathers coming to us live from Madison.
Yes.
Yeah.
The world headquarters. Doing, world headquarters in Madison. Good to see you, Luke. I know you're going to be on with, you have a busy day today. You're going to be on with Todd for What's Grinding Luke's Gears a little bit later on.
Yeah, that'll come up our Tuesday tangent session on the Todd Alba Show. Always a fun time to join him. Always a pleasure to join you here on Matt Nair on Air.
Well, thank you so much. I did want to talk about this. I saw this in NPR a couple of days ago. An article from Julian Aguilar, and the headline reads, Trump's deportation vow alarms Texas construction industry. I don't know why anybody would be surprised about this. We've been talking about this for months. He's been talking about it for months. Remember the mass deportation now signs at his rallies?
Yes.
And now we're concerned?
Apparently. It seems like there's a lot of this critical reporting coming out post-election, which is a little shocking.
Yeah.
You also see reports on the tariffs and other policies that a second Trump administration plans to implement come January and over the next 4 years. And it is a shocking whiplash of comparisons, Jane, from 4 years ago to now. Because 4 years ago, we had a president that lost, that was desperately trying to find any form of legal theory, no matter how far stretched it was, to try to overturn the results of an election. And now we have the incoming winner of this go around who's already announcing policies and trying to govern.
Yeah.
Even though we're still 2 months out from him being officially president again, it is shocking, the comparison, because 4 years ago is what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
Just humor the guy. He's just, trying to find his legal means of contesting these results. And now it's, well, I guess we might as well just start his term 2 months early, because that's really what these last few weeks have felt like, Jane. And the only way that I can describe it is whiplash.
Yeah, for sure. And that's almost verbatim. I can remember someone around Trump at that time saying he just needs time to get used to it. He's 12, like he was 12 years old. He'll accept it. He'll come around to it. Yeah, that didn't happen.
When I was 12 years old, my parents didn't do that. They'd be like, this is a thing that's happening. It's happening. It's done. You don't get time to get used to it. He's an adult human.
Well, that's debatable.
And well, the whiplash that we have from even a year ago headlines, where it was inflation's on the rise. This is the most expensive Thanksgiving you'll ever have. This is how much it's going to cost for this item, and this item. USA Today now has that this is going to be the most affordable Thanksgiving ever.
Huh.
It is just shockingly frustrating to, as somebody like both of the two of you, I think, paying attention to the news headlines day in and day out, to see the drastic difference in the way these things are covered, it's just frustrating. And so it's not shocking to me to see that these NPR headlines are coming out, Jane, where it's hey, this is going to be the ramification of a mass deportation policy that has been discussed on the campaign trail
endlessly
over the last 6 months. But if you're just tuning in now, yeah, I guess you're going to have some catching up to do on what those ramifications are going to be.
6 months is pretty generous. He's been talking about this for 10 years.
Yes.
Yes. Essentially, Stan Merrick, CEO of Merrick, a Houston-based commercial and residential construction giant, says, quote, "It would devastate our industry. We wouldn't finish our highways. We wouldn't finish our schools. Housing would disappear. I think they'd lose half their labor." Again, talking about Donald Trump's plan to round up and deport illegal immigrants.
Cool. Mr. Mayor, who did you vote for?
Seriously. In 2022, more than 500,000 immigrants worked in the construction industry. Nearly 60% of that workforce was undocumented.
It's about 300,000 people then, folks. 60% of 500,000 is 300,000 people.
And
that's just construction. That's not
just
even
construction. Exactly. Yeah.
You don't even have to go as far as Texas. Here in Wisconsin, we're already hearing from dairy farmers and other members of the agriculture sector saying if these mass deportation policies go through, we are going to be decimated. And it's the unspoken dirty little secret that everybody knows, but nobody really wants to talk about. And again, it gets back to the frustrating part of folks that have been paying attention to these things. There was a bipartisan piece of legislation that would have sent more funding to secure the U.S. border and address the immigration judges where we are so drastically understaffed for these people coming through, putting in
claims and trying to go through the right process,
trying to do the right way, trying to go through and become citizens. But all of that is understaffed because there is a certain side of the political argument that wants government so small that it can drown it in a bathtub. And that's the side that says no. We're not going to actually fund these things then, because Donald Trump told his supporters on that side to kill that bill. There were senators on both sides of the aisle, of both Republicans and Democrats, came together for that piece of legislation. It would have addressed these concerns that Wisconsinites and U.S. citizens across the board are saying, hey, we need this problem to be addressed. But Donald Trump said, I want to campaign on these aspects.
Yes.
Do not fix this problem. Mm-hmm. And that is the unfortunate aspect. If you're not paying attention to the headlines on a regular basis and you go and you start looking at the headlines, say, late September, early October, before going to a voting booth every year that we have the Olympics. Excuse me. I guess the Summer Olympics, because we got the Winter Olympics. Midterms.
Midterms.
Yeah. Exactly.
But presidential elections lining up with Summer Olympics. If you only pay attention those years and go into a voting booth every 4 years, paying attention to the headlines a couple of weeks ahead of time, it could be understandable that you're upset and frustrated that these problems haven't been solved or fixed or addressed. But if you weren't paying attention earlier in the year to see Donald Trump tank that bipartisan immigration bill, you don't know who to blame. You just know that the current administration, the Biden-Harris administration, is the who's currently in power.
Exactly.
And you're saying, hey, I'm gonna make a change. And there's a lot of people, I think, that went into the voting booths earlier this month and said, we're gonna go in a different direction from Biden-Harris, and we're gonna go back to Donald Trump.
I think one thing before I want to make clear to everyone too listening, Luke brought up deportation and dairy farmers. We are going to have Hans Breitenmoser on at 11:06, and we're going to talk to him about deportation and the tariffs and what kind of impact that will have on the farmers, especially dairy farmers. And then also reading in this article, about Texas, there's a lot of but wait, well, this is going to happen to us. And a part of me really wants to say, I don't care, but a part of me says, this is what you voted for. And the fact that he's doing it, That is, you can't be surprised by that.
You shouldn't be surprised by it.
If he didn't do that, if he didn't do mass deportations, his base would go insane. He has to go through on this. He's got all the people who want to go through on this. So you sitting there going, this is going to decimate our workforce. Well.
Yeah, but again, I've seen other articles now saying if your business gives him a big enough political donation, he might protect your workforce.
Yeah, there may be special.
They may not target your specific workforce.
And we're going to be here to talk about that. If exemptions are being made and special dispensations are being made for corporations that all of a sudden just happen to give to, you know, Trump attached PACs. Yeah, we'll talk about those. But right now, they're all sitting here going, what are we going to do? Well, I don't know. You voted for him, so this is what's going to happen.
Economist Ray Perryman, the president and CEO of a Texas-based company called Perryman Group, says the reason Texas needs so many immigrant laborers is simple. The workforce in Texas is not large enough to keep pace with the growth. He worries that a massive roundup will have a chilling effect on the Texas economy. Quote, we simply don't have an economic structure that can sustain that. There are more undocumented people working in Texas right now than there are unemployed people in Texas.
So it's going to be devastating to state economies, to the U.S. economy across the board. Again, this is a problem that has been kicked down the road far too many times.
For
there
decades.
Were attempts to address it. I'm not saying that that bipartisan piece of legislation would have fixed all the problems, but there are incremental fixes that can be made and start to address these problems. But when there's certain people that benefit by just campaigning on these issues and not actually solving them, It is very, very frustrating to see political wins for folks like that.
Well,
and unfortunately, that's the thing. It's a political winner for them, so they keep doing it.
But it will be interesting to see, because obviously you're going to get big pushback from the business community versus placating his base, who wants all, you know, illegal immigrants deported. It's going to be interesting to see how he tries to walk that line.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a line that he could successfully walk. I don't think it's going to be a needle that can be threaded. Like, it is going to have implications one way or another, and we're already seeing it with the 25% across the board tariffs being announced. With when these things that he puts into action start taking place, you have to be paying attention to the ramifications. And when you see prices go up because there are no laborers to go and build the aspects that need to be built to work in agriculture sectors that need people there. You can't automate milking the cows.
Yep.
You can't automate the harvest. It doesn't work that way. And so for all of these people that are like, oh, well, automation and technology and all these things will fix all of this. No, it is going to have long-lasting ramifications of policies like mass deportation and across the board tariffs with our largest trading partners.
Well, and what's interesting with the tariffs too is he wants 25% tariffs against Mexico and China and Canada, 10% against China. So Mexico and Canada are bigger problems than China. I didn't see that coming. We're going to continue our conversation with our friend and colleague Luke Mathers. Jim Santel, another colleague here at Civic Media, has a special seminar coming up tonight that you may want to check out. All the details on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Jess P.S. Great song on the board in for Calvin, who's taking a well-deserved week off. We're coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. About 1 hour from now, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Trashy Thanksgiving Edition. Lots of stories to share.
Yeah.
Tough to narrow it down.
Yeah. We'll
probably do another one tomorrow. But that is coming up at 11:51 right now. We are joined by Luke Mathers, our friend and colleague here at Civic Media. And I saw Jim Santel sent out this invitation a little bit earlier. Jim Santel, by the way, is host of Amicus, a Law Review, mm-hmm. on Saturdays from 9 to 11 across Civic Media. He is an attorney. He's a brilliant man. And he offers these free seminars tonight at 6 o'clock. It will be in the Firefly Room of the Wauwatosa Library on North Avenue in Tosa. No reservations needed. Mm-hmm. They're going to serve light refreshments. And after the news came down yesterday that Jack Smith has now dismissed the case against Donald Trump.
With prejudice.
With prejudice. We'll explain what that means. But Jim's going to be kicking that around tonight. So if you're curious about that and you would like someone who can go into great detail, mm-hmm. Jim is the guy for you. Yeah. So again, it's tonight, 6 o'clock in the Firefly Room of the Wauwatosa Library on 76th and North Ave. And it's free. No reservations. Just show up and be ready to ask questions. So, yes, those charges were dismissed by Jack Smith with prejudice.
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means that you can down the road bring the case back up again.
Because again, he is bound by law that he cannot prosecute a sitting president, correct?
What a great law.
But that is essentially why he had to take this move.
Yeah.
My understanding.
Yeah.
But I think for a lot of folks it's pretty disappointing. And I see a lot of different finger pointing at Merrick Garland.
Mm-hmm.
For seemingly have slow walking this for years.
Yeah.
Luke.
Well, I think it goes back again to the whiplash. Just the well, he's going to be president again in 2 months, so no more consequences for what we've been investigating over the last better part of 4 years while he was out of the White House. And so it is fascinating that there was a lawyer back in the 70s that said, you know, Richard Nixon can't be held responsible. You can't look into these things for a sitting president. And now that's just become the norm. Strangely, one of the norms that has just, you know, stayed throughout the years. There's been a lot of norms over the last 10 years that have just gone out the door. That one still sticking around. A legal opinion from a White House lawyer in the 1970s during the Watergate scandal saying, hey, you can't look into this. And back then, there's still enough political pressure to get a president to resign and step down like Richard Nixon did. But you see that 50 years into the future. If these things don't get addressed, they come back. And that's what we've been seeing with the legal ramifications around the White House attorney's office, or I forget.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if Nixon were in office under the current Supreme Court ruling, if Nixon had done what he did now, he wouldn't face any charges. He would have complete and total immunity.
No, his orders to break into the Watergate building and get that information from a political opponent at the DNC would have been probably deemed an official act, or you would have at least had an attorney try to make that argument in court, and then there would not have been a need for Richard Nixon to step down. No.
Well, and the stepping down came from, it was the pressure from the GOP.
Yeah,
the amount of Republicans,
which would never happen.
The amount of Republicans who said he left office and they still issued a report on it. They didn't have to. They still did, because they were like, we have an obligation to the country to tell them what has happened. That is bonkers banana times to me. That's so not long ago.
855-752-4842. If you'd like to join the conversation, Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. What did you want to say about this?
I just have to say that, you know, when you got an expert criminal like you got there in the presidential office and afterwards, and they surrounds himself with the same type of mobster intelligence, no wonder we're in this mess. And he was really great at postponement. And we got a great legal system that honors everybody who breaks the law, not but him when he breaks the law. It's been amazing watching the different people be complicit or even join in Trump's illegal activities or crimes against the people. And it's, you know, if people need to really watch this, and they need to start watching the Congress, Marjorie Taylor Greene, all the people that just, all they did all year long was go after Joe Biden and go after his son. They never even did any work. So, guys, I hope those people that voted for this mess start taking accountability and start calling in and saying, hey, I didn't vote for this, because it's up to them now to open their mouths and get these people in line. Thank you so much for the work you do. I'm so impressed, and I love you guys. Thank you so much, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Jeannie. Appreciate you.
We adore you. Thank you so very, very much.
I love her
much.
Brand of sarcasm.
I just love that she's very much, she tells it, you know, she's a straight shooter.
Yep.
She is a straight shooter.
Can I share one controversial thing?
Real quick.
Tim Michaels, probably an excellent transportation secretary if he were to divest.
If only that.
If he seriously divested his interests.
He'd probably be good. Yeah.
Probably a good Department of Transportation secretary.
News is coming up next. Thank you, Luke Mathers. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. News is coming up when we return. Hans Breitenmoser is here. We're going to talk dairy in Wisconsin. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers stops by for Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and we'll find out what's grinding his gears. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.